This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me to discuss a double barrel of matches, Chelsea in the FA Cup, which he's off to, and Newcastle, which he's also off to, and so am I. Mr. Chris Bird, welcome.
Hello. How are you doing?
I feel like the season, I feel like the year is about to start properly.
It feels like it now. Yeah, big games on the horizon and opportunity knocks and all that.
Feel like I've been on a holiday, but actually the last few weeks since I've been back feels more of a holiday because of the winter break. So
I've been glad of it this year, to be honest.
Time to roll up your sleeves, villains. It's time to see if we've got the mettle to get this over the line. Lots of ABC talk about financial fair play and how you sort that out. Well, the main way you sort that out is on the pitch, and you qualify for Europe in the top four, and then financial fair play becomes a lot easier because the riches, the TV money from Champions League is the next big cash cow you can get access to, and only four teams get access to that. Maybe five this season. So that is the focus. None of this thinking that the terrace view is going to solve financial fair play. It's not by any means. It might cover
100 grand here or there won't do fuck all.
Exactly. Champions League is where what it's at. And if you fail, then don't cry about financial fair play. But two teams that are in the ballpark of, at the moment, I would say direct challenges to where we want to go is Chelsea, who have a very young team and are on the ascendancy. They've made a cup final under old Poch.
And they kind of walked into it into the end against Borough.
Yeah, that Borough semi-final. Chelsea's Borough semi-final. I mean, not ideal to have Chelsea away in the FA Cup. Not ideal to have Borough away, really, in the third round. But the silver lining was the fact that both Borough and Chelsea were playing each other in a semi-final. So the first leg came pretty soon after the FA Cup game. Well, literally days.
Yes. And yeah, so their focus days after, 3 days after.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier on the podcast, their focus would have been on that. You know, it's a semi-final after all. And then here we are with Chelsea having just come off the second leg of that, our next opponents in the FA Cup. So we've kind of, in terms of our opponents being distracted by a semi-final, it's kind of worked out pretty well in that sense, as good as it could be.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously Chelsea would have known. I mean, I saw a little bit of the press around it, and it was very much, this is a make or break week for Chelsea with two big cup games at home. You know, two defeats would be a disaster. Even just getting to like the cup final was sort of the bare minimum that they had to beat Borough in that one, really. It might give them confidence. There might be, I don't think they'll be leggy from that one because it was a Tuesday night game.
And I think this is a non-event season for them. It's all about transition. Mm-hmm. And if they get in a cup final, that's the main thing. Get beat by Villa, they don't give a shit. If they beat Villa, they haven't really achieved anything. So that cup was a big thing. By the way, the main focus of the show is the Newcastle game coming up, which there's a lot more at stake really for Villa in that. But just while we're here, we realise that this show, we're not going to waste too much time on Chelsea because this show actually won't be out very much long before that game takes place.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, what is strong for Chelsea now? It is a pretty youthful team. I mean, a lot of money spent on it, but it's still making its first steps really as a unit, isn't it?
Yeah, you got young lads like Cole Palmer who seems to be sort of stepping up. You've still got a few of the older heads. You know, you've still got Thiago at the back who's a very, very good player. They just don't quite know what they are yet, but you could see them sort of slowly getting it together as the season goes on because Poch is a good coach.
Yeah, I mean, they're missing Nicholas Jackson to the AFCON who's playing for Senegal, but I mean, he has been their, let's say, main striker this season. But I mean, against Villa in the first game this season, he did spurn a few chances, did he not?
Mm-hmm.
Also, Reece James is out.
Yeah, fluffed his night. I mean, Reece James is always out there. Chilwell is back though, and he had a very good game actually against Borough in the semi-final. Sterling kind of blows hot and cold, but when he's on form, he's still a very good player.
Yeah, so ultimately, you know, we're not going to waste too much time on what Chelsea are going to be playing. It's more like how Emery will approach this in terms of the team he plays. I think you're going to be looking at a similar team to that started the Europa Conference League games. And almost, I think, because we're not in the Europa Conference League until March, I think this is FA Cup essentially is going to fill the gap in the way we approach it. I mean, obviously, if we continue in it. And I think you'll see a similar kind of team to that. And because of the break, there's been a few injuries, obviously, with Pau Torres. Tillemans only just made the match day squad again. Whether Ramsey's ready, we don't know. Luca Dean might be back. So you might use it also to get minutes into players like that with a view to Newcastle, or obviously be resting certain players for Newcastle. But there has been a break. So will he just go strong in both?
I think he might do, just because I think he'll look at it as a chance of, not another training session, but he's always said, you know, you learn more about guys in games. And I think the opportunity to get guys back up and running ahead of a big game, knowing that obviously you play Friday, but then you've got a bit of break, and because you don't have to travel to Newcastle, you get the time to obviously prep the day of the game, etc. I'd expect him to go fairly strong. I would wonder, though, because I saw Marshall had gone out on loan. We all know what Martinez can do. I do wonder if he might play Olsen. So you play a strong side, but you play someone like Olsen in goal.
Just to make it harder for yourself.
Yeah, but I do see the importance of guys coming back.
Yeah.
You are going to want to get some minutes into those guys.
Yeah, 6,000 Villa fans making the way down to London. I believe Manchester City are taking 9,000 to Spurs, which is...
It's going to be fun at London Euston, isn't it, then, going home?
Yeah. Ooh. How are you getting there?
I'm getting the train down.
Oh.
Luckily, I'm going into Marylebone. I decided to avoid going into Euston, knowing that we were taking a lot and Man City will be coming through Euston as well.
Well, good luck with that one anyway.
Thanks,
everybody who's going. But one player that won't be playing is our new signing, Kostas Nelaković from Red Star Belgrade, the formerly great Red Star Belgrade, former European champions themselves. Undisclosed fee, thought to be around, what would you say, about 5-6 million?
Ish, yeah. You'd imagine there's loads of bolt-ons as well, yeah.
He's 18 at the moment. He's staying with Red Star, mainly because he only signed a 5-year contract with them.
17th of December.
4-year. Yeah, like 36 days before he signs for Villa. It's giving me Fabian Delph summer 15 vibes with a with a the lining of Joe Grealish summer 21 vibes, that situation there.
Yeah, I wouldn't do with that one. Signed a long-term deal and then he's out the door a few days later.
Well, he's there with like all his family holding up a Red Star Belgrade shirt. Was it with 2027 on the back of it? Like, I'm here for life. My home, my club, my...
My city.
And then my city, 36 days later, see you later. I mean, I think the loan thing is kind of the sweetener, but...
From what I'd read, if my understanding is correct, it's because I think, because he's a young lad, he'd still be on a youth team contract. So if Villa came in to grab him, they could have just completely pulled their pants down. And he's obviously gone, well, you know, you want to look after that club and get them some, you know, proper money for what could be a big player in the future. So I understand that, because there's no way that at that point of signing the contract, Villa weren't in contact in December. There's no way, especially on a youth player. You'd have done a lot of due diligence over a long period of time. So that's just a bit of a PR thing.
But his first deal would have been constructed with Villa in the background, pulling the strings.
Of course it would. Yeah.
But we look forward to seeing him in the summer.
He likes a tackle. I'll give him that from the little video bits I saw. He's...
Yeah.
he's not shy on the physical side of the game.
Obviously a promising player. I mean, you know, they always hype it and say, oh, one of the best, you know, in Europe, young right backs, etc. But obviously the proof's in the pudding.
I mean, lads from that part of the world, they do generally tend to be quite technically good, don't they? And they've always got a lot of heart about them. They're quite tough.
Yeah, but the Premier League is not full with Serbian right backs, is it?
No, it is not. No, it is not.
So that is the thing. Hopefully he reaches levels above and beyond our two former Serbs. You know, Milosevic had his day in the sun, but a bit of a slow start. And Saša Čurčić was meant to be the man to lift Villa to another level because he was really good with Bolton, but that was a flop, wasn't it?
He spent all his time getting plastic surgery, didn't he?
And shagging, well, allegedly, like Carmen Electra, Eva Herzegova, and Naomi Campbell. And when you look at him, you go, I don't kind of believe any of these stories. He said he retired from football for sex. I think that was misquoted because I think he denounced that. But yeah, if he does better than both of them, then I think that's considering the level that Milosevic had, which he ended up spitting at Villa fans and leaving. But you would hope if he did better than both of them, then that would be considered like worth like an okay career. But hopefully he's,
you'd hope so, hopefully
bring a lot more to the party and actually helps us kick on, because obviously right back is a position we can upgrade in, shall we say.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's part of a sort of a slight shift in strategy from Monchi in terms of going and buying players with loads of upside with the potential to, you know, a little bit like the Brighton model. You know, you get these guys who are a little bit hidden gems, polish them up a bit, and then you know at some point you can sort of sell them on rather than, you know, trying to drop 30, 40 plus million on a right back in the here and now.
Well, yeah, but it's hardly a new revelation. I mean, this is what we were trying to do with Paul Lambert, trying to get
that was the mantra.
I mean, young and hungry, remember? But anyway, Newcastle, Newcastle, there's only one word to describe this fixture, and that's revenge.
It's got to be this one, hasn't it?
You may have remembered the humiliation of the first day of the season. I mean, you know, my old man said, putting on an event
Birmingham,
putting on free bar event to watch that Newcastle game. Sort it out nicely for everybody. One thing we can't control, and that's Aston Villa on the pitch.
and
that
my
went
word.
Tits up big time. I mean, luckily we could supply free drinks for everybody.
At least when you're well-oiled on the first day of the season, you just kind of shrug your shoulders and go, meh. It was more the Mings injury was the big one from that.
Courtesy of our sponsor for the show, the lovely Green King. And with 2024 upon us, it means a packed schedule. As we thaw out from the winter and get knee-deep into the FA Cup, AFCON, and of course the Premier League action. So do beat the January Blues and watch every game with the atmosphere it deserves down your local Green King sports pub. Don't settle for that dodgy stream. If it's on telly, it's on at your local Green King across the huge HD screens. If you download the Green King sports app, you'll also receive 10% off every single drink whenever there's a game on. Their venues offer a range of low and non-alcoholic options too, so dry January doesn't mean you have to settle for a compromised sports watching experience.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is all you need to know about this game. And when we say revenge, we're not just talking about beating Newcastle. We're talking about getting the aggregate score back.
Yeah.
We're 5-1 down from the first leg. But you look at the situation in terms of their last six games, the form over the last six games, they are 19th in the league. The six games, 1-1, lost 5. Only Brentford is worse off, and that's just by one goal difference. But then you look at the home form of the season, the home record this season. Villa, top of the table, played 10, won 9, drawn 1. Then you look at Newcastle's away form. They are 19th in their away form. 10 games, 1-1, drawn 2, lost 7.
That's awful, isn't it? Jeez.
Terrible. But that, to be fair, their goal difference is only minus 6, which is pretty good, considering they've only won one game. I mean, you look around them, the only team below them, Sheffield United, minus 20 goal difference. They haven't won this season away. When are they coming to Villa Park? Oh, they've been.
And got points, don't worry.
That was one of their only 2 points away from home. I mean, why didn't we beat them? We still should be 100%, Chris Budd. We should still be 100%. But the team above them, Fulham, with only one win, they've got a minus 15 goal difference. So are we going to get that aggregate goal difference back?
And Newcastle are scoring a lot more. There's a little stat that the BBC put up where there was a few, and there were some quite interesting ones actually, just comparing them after 21 games. So last season they had scored 12. This year they've scored 32.
Wow.
Expected goals is way higher, but their expected goals against, etc., you know, shots faced, etc., was just miles worse. You know, I think their last season they'd conceded 12. At this point they've conceded 32.
Yeah, because I mean, you look at their tough recent games where they've played Manchester City, although that was at home. You know, they lost, but they lost 3-2. Away at Anfield, they lost, but it was 4-2. So they're always capable of scoring, you know, against the best teams. And Isaac's there with 10 goals. He's in double figures. And the likes of Gordon are on 7. Wilson are on 7. I mean, so they're scoring goals.
And you've got guys like Bruno. They've got good attacking players. They're a real threat. If we're not defensively at the races, they can come to Villa Park and beat us. But I think if we can control the game and attack them, they're going to give you chances. I mean, even I watched the FA Cup game they had against Sunderland when they dominated Sunderland. But as soon as Sunderland crossed the halfway line against them, you thought, fucking hell, Newcastle are wide open here. They're, even a championship team who were beaten, they're still causing them problems.
Yeah, I think the upshot is we're going to have to be clinical here. I mean, we create chances, but recently the performances have been a bit, in the final third, are just a bit tepid in terms of finishing and the kind of conviction. And we can't squander chances and allow them to basically change the pattern of the game by...
No.
Because there's a good chance they will score in this game, I would venture.
I think them not having Joe Linton in the side, I mean, he's virtually out for the rest of the season now. I think that's a huge loss for them because he gives them solidity in the middle of the park.
Yeah, one of the reasons why they are shipping goals is because Nick Pope is injured as well. Well, he's out for a few months.
They've kind of lost
probably
their spine.
April.
Yeah, they lost Botman at the back as well. So they've kind of lost that really solid core that had got them, you know, that made them so difficult to beat last season. Now they're scoring more, but they're conceding a lot more.
If you translate it into Villa, that would be a bit like losing Martinez and, let's say, John McGinn. So it's Callum Wilson it's got a calf problem. He's meant to be 50-50, but it's looking more likely that he will be available.
I'd expect him to play, or at least be in the squad.
You know, I've always rated Wilson, but he is a bit of a shithouse when he plays at Villa. I mean, he always tries to create beef, doesn't it? Whether it's with Mings or Martinez with his little nudges and stuff. And it's like,
it's the Coventry
messing with the wrong guys here. You're messing with the wrong guys.
I mean, I'm hoping the fact that we've got a little bit of extra recovery time helps. You know, we play Friday night. They don't play till Saturday night at Fulham. So, and with the travel, et cetera. So they're not going to have much prep time, which normally shouldn't come into it, but you'd think it could actually with that sort of thing.
Let's just talk about the main threats. I think Gordon has had a decent season and perhaps has suffered just because of players injured around him, and you know they've had their fair share of injuries around, and he's had to do a lot of the heavy lifting to kind of keep them competitive. I mean, if Villa beat them, there is a danger of them dropping into the lower half. And when you're in the Champions League at the start of the season, you're kind of looking one eye on, right, we got to keep our European status, but it is hard to just appear out of nowhere in the Champions League and then sustain it, as you know, the likes of Leicester, Leeds going back a few years have found out. The thing about Villa is if we can get there, I think we've slowly built this team. And it just, it's one of those teams where you're adding one or two players every transfer window. And it's a proper team that's been built together. It's not like being thrown together over a couple of transfer windows. So I think it has a bit more, I don't know, togetherness that will serve it well if it got into the Champions League and then, you know, in the league alongside it.
I think our foundations are probably stronger. I still think Newcastle, when everyone's fit, they're a very good side. They showed that last year, but I just think they were always going to have a drop-off. You know, they had last season and, of course, the previous sort of second half of 2022, where they were very good and they flew past us, which I remember at the time I was raging about. It showed how poor we were.
In comparison, I think Villa are more steadier than, let's say, Spurs and Newcastle. But I think Spurs and Newcastle, fully fit, have that kind of blitz factor about them where they've got another gear, where Villa, I don't think, have got as many heavy hitter match winners that are proven time and time again. And those two teams kind of carry them. But on their day, Villa obviously can beat both of them.
Well, of course, the last time Newcastle came to Villa Park, it was 3-0 and should have been 4-5 at least. But I'd expect a different game now.
I mean, Villa, there's a danger they will do a Martin O'Neill and fade into sixth or something like that. And then you're thinking, shit. But I think we've got there's enough about this team that if we can get into the top four, that there's something there to sustain it. It's been built over a period of time. It's not just a flash in the pan, wham, bam. There's players there emotionally attached, which is kind of rare in this day and age where you're flipping and changing. But if we don't make the top four, then obviously then with the best will in the world, it's going to be hard to keep certain players at their age and what they want to do personally.
And the level they've been at for a couple of seasons now, really. You've had guys who've been really hitting the heights.
I'm kind of quite cutthroat on that, though. I'm like, well, you weren't good enough to do it for Villa, so we're going to have to find somebody better if we can get a good price for you. So it's kind of...
Sounds like with a few... Well, obviously, Dendonka was out the door this week. Not that he's, you know, ever been a big player for us, but it's, you know, another one of the Gerrard strange sort of head-scratching signings. He's kind of out the door now.
I don't know if it was a head-scratcher. That was kind of... There was a logic to that. I think at the time...
I just thought you would be revisionist, I think, to
call it a head-scratcher. I think at the time we were saying that it was kind of sensible in terms of it from a squad filler point of view. I think that was what we were saying at the time. It's what you said at the time.
Yeah, once the new manager comes in, you're kind of looking at him going, well, there's no way he's going to fit into that. Was it would appear that he quite likes Irobenham. You know, they've had him back and he'd have thought if he was going to go out on loan, he probably would have by now, so... Yeah. It would appear that maybe they view him as a good player. You know, he's got a good sort of physicality. He's meant to be a good player. He probably needs to make up for some lost time, but he did fairly well at QPR last year before his injury. So, you know, that he's back in the squad, Kessler's back. I'd probably expect them both to be in the matchday squad for the Chelsea game, maybe for Newcastle and games moving forward now.
Well, the Dendonka thing is a lot, you know, half of it's about getting those wages off the book in terms of trying to potentially free a bit of wiggle room for maybe somebody else coming in. And also Dendonka, with one eye on the Euros for Belgium, needing time to actually play, or else he might find himself surplus to requirements there. So it kind of works out. Although ultimately Villa are weaker and, you know, people... Easy to discard Dendonka, but you look at last season and two of our best victories against Brentford, the Blitz, and also Newcastle at home, both had Dendonka started. So there is something about him. I find him fascinating to watch, just how he runs. It's bizarre.
It's like the turning circle of the Titanic, hasn't he?
Yeah, but it's like no other player. His style, his running style is like no other player. So he's almost like an exotic zoo animal that you watch from the holt when he's running. It's like, well, look, there's a very rare Dendonka. I haven't seen one of them before.
I've never even thought about that, David, before, but thanks for that. A rare zoo animal.
Well, he is.
I mean, I have chuckled before where we've had a counter-attack. You think, wow, he's got open ground to run into. He's virtually clean through. And you're like, no chance. He sort of runs out of steam after about 10 minutes. Bless him. Mobility is not his strong point, but he's a very sort of steady player.
Tidy. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always thought he'd be the kind of player you want when you're, you know, you got your backs to the wall in like a big game and you're 1-0 up in Europe or something. You think, right, Bruce, bring him on, stick him in front of the back four and just get him heading everything once teams are throwing it in the box. And he's very good at that, sort of breaking the game up.
Anyway, it's not the Dendonka show, although I would have loved it to have
frankly,
been.
Frankly, it bloody should be sometimes.
If it was a weekly Dendonka show, then we would have a podcast to be proud of. Anyway, in terms of Mom's pool panel result, Newcastle.
Oh, Newcastle, a tough home win. I think the winter break has probably come at a good time for both. I think both teams will be refreshed, so I'd expect Newcastle to be better than they have been, but I think we'll win this one.
Yeah, I think we only win this, though, if we actually play well. And that, when I say it, yeah, that means not just like resilient, trying to get it over the line, blah, blah, blah. That means actually, oh, right, refreshed after the winter break. Players have obviously been on holiday and kind of back to the performance that we were seeing a few months ago, shall we say.
That's the key word, isn't it? You're looking for a performance in this one. And ideally, you want a performance at Stamford Bridge. You know, whatever the result, you want to see that they're coming back fresher and ready to go.
But against Newcastle, you want something that relates to how we played against Manchester City. You know, you want something that looks like it's on the same family tree as opposed to some of the performances that have followed that win.
Yeah, you'd like to get that level of control back at Villa Park.
Yeah, no, exactly. So from me, I'm going home win, and I've got an eye on that aggregate of 5-1. I would like to beat these by a couple of goals, put it that way, just to
I'd like a repeat of the game in April, to be honest. Bearing in mind, of course, we lost 5-1 away this season. We lost 4-0 away last season.
Yeah. So it is kind of normal course that we get tonked at theirs and then we beat them at ours.
Yeah,
so hopefully that will continue.
I'd really like a clean sheet as well, to be honest.
The only thing I'm slightly concerned about is when you look at the poor record, away records of this season, and you've seen that Sheffield United, the worst, haven't even won, came to Villa Park, the only team to come to Villa Park and get a point. And now the next team up is Newcastle, and you're thinking, oh, it's not going to be one of these, is it? Where seven teams have beaten them on their own, you know, on their own patch when Newcastle have visited, and you know, surely Villa should add their name to that list. Surely.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.